The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Need two callers right now as the wheel spins around and round. And Will West, that music can only mean one thing. It's a Wednesday, and it might be time for Sports Jeopardy. For the first-time listeners or for the refreshers, how do we play Sports Jeopardy?
Here's how Sports Jeopardy works. Each contestant, and we need two contestants, 656-9900, right now to call in. Sports Jeopardy works like this. Each contestant gets a 100-point question, a 200-point question, then a final Sports Jeopardy question where they can bid with the points that they have earned. The contestant that's able to get the most points in Sports Jeopardy is going to be our big winner today. Tyler Ivins, tell them what to win.
They will win that Harmony pillow from our friends at M. Lilly. Listen, we've had a lot of great gifts that come through the doors here at TSL, but none that have matched the popularity of the Harmony pillow. Power hour naps, whether it's a long night rest that you need during the weekends, or you just need something comfortable to take with you on road trips, the Harmony pillow, M. Lilly, U.S. headquarters. You can find it next door to the Fresh Market in Farragut. All right, it's Daniel and Brian, my WWE, you know, senses just start, Spidey senses take off there. Daniel, good morning to you. You get to go first. Daniel, if you've listened to the game, you usually know how these things usually play out. So I'm going to ask you, would you rather have your questions from yours truly, or do you want to get them from Will West? Hey, Daniel, is there any chance we can get, Daniel, can you say that one more time?
Tyler.
Perfect. All right, Daniel, with your 100-point question. Last night, the Tampa Bay Rays, they fell to the Los Angeles Dodgers 8-3 to lose game one of the World Series. Daniel, can you tell me who did the Rays beat in the American League Championship Series to advance to the World Series?
Who the Rays beat?
Who did the Rays beat to get to the World Series?
Astros.
It was the Houston Astros. Very nicely done, Daniel. Let's get your 200-point question, and we're going to go to the SEC standings. Right now, if you take a peek at the overall standings, there is still one team that is winless on the year in the SEC. Can you tell me who it is?
You went out a little bit. Can you repeat that, please?
Who's the only winless team in SEC football up to date right now?
Vanderbilt.
It is Vanderbilt. Look at that. Easy 300-point questions for you. There's a 100 to 200.
That's Will, the you reverse add the one... Ivins. If I've ever heard the reverse Ivins, that's the reverse Ivins.
If then you add the 100 on top of that, sir, that is 400 total points as we bring Brian into the fold. Brian, say hello to Will West.
Brian, if you're we're going to make sure that we have the same curve that that Ivins just gave Daniel.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm ready to hit some softballs, guys. Come on, man.
Let's do it. All right. We're just putting them on the tee. It's not even softball. It's T-ball. Three-year-olds running the wrong way on the base path. all right. Your 100-point question right now, Brian. Tua Tagovailoa going to start for the Miami Dolphins this week. Who is he replacing at quarterback for the Dolphins this week?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It is Fitzpatrick. Fantastic job. Your 200-point question. Okay. Dodger slugger Mookie Betts is from what Tennessee city?
Oh,
Mookie Betts is from Tennessee. What city is he from?
Clarksville.
It is Nashville. Nashville. So you take 200 points into the next round. Let's see if we can get it done during Final Sports Jeopardy.
All right, let's get to the final question here. Daniel, you get to decide how many of your 400 points do you want to wager?
How many does he have?
Will?
He has 200.
And I got what, 4?
Yep.
I don't want to wager any.
Okay. Oh, he's going to go the 0 here.
Look at that.
So here's your question. With the Dodgers taking on the Rays in the World Series, this is a California-Florida championship matchup, all right? It's the second time this year that it's occurred. Remember when the Lakers and the Heat played each other? That was California versus Florida. Since 1970, how many times have we seen multiple championship appearances between two states?
Goodness. It's about making 12. Up for that reverse Ivins. Holy crap.
How many times?
12.
Wow. Correct answer is 5. It's the fifth time since 1970. But you didn't wager anything. That's why you're smart, Daniel. That's how you play the game. As you were saying, Will, what about those questions, Will?
Well, the first two were like Avery could have gotten. This last one, nobody could have gotten. Ken Jennings wouldn't have gotten that question. So the Schwab doesn't know the answer to what you just asked.
Actually, joke's honest. On you because Ken Jennings actually texted me that question.
Avery's smarter than most of us participating in the show and listening to the show.
She,
so
she is, but she wouldn't know sports if they were, you know, I mean, if it was playing in the backyard, she wouldn't know what she's looking at. So, all right. So, Brian, are you ready to get this W? Here's what you need. You got 200 points. You need to be able to double these points, and you got to bid them all if you want to have a chance to win this. I'm assuming you're bidding them all?
I'm all in.
All right, so here you go. Your final Sports Jeopardy question is this. We talked about it earlier. James Slater of the NFL Network mentioned Cowboys players have been ripping their coaching staff, specifically the new defensive coordinator this year. Who was the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys this season?
Oh, man. I'm stumped. I don't know.
Mike Nolan is the answer. Brian, you played very well. Congratulations to Daniel being able to get the win on those reverse Ivins questions early on.
Daniel, don't you hate it when you climb the mountain, as Kaner put it just about 15 minutes ago, and when you get to the top and grab your flag, you hit the button and the aggro crag confetti goes everywhere that you just get absolutely slapped in the face? Man. But, Daniel, whenever you hit the ground, at least you're going to fall comfortably on the Harmony pillow from M. Lilly. That available Fresh Market. The U.S. headquarters are right next door to it. You can find them in Farragut and online, mlillyusa.com. What, were those really softball questions?
Yeah, those first two were incredible softball questions.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's fine. It's all right. My gosh, did you make up for it with the final question, though? Gracious.
I'm just simply telling you what's on my
radar.
Daniel
owes you money. You were just trying to. Avery says she's listening and doesn't like that I ripped her.
See?
Remember who had your back, Avery.
I would just like to simply state that now I've got people tweeting me saying they knew the answer to the last question, and I want to call baloney on that one. I'll say baloney on that one. That's lunch meat, boys. Somebody went on there, and apparently Ken Jennings has a lot more phone numbers to our listening audience here in the East Tennessee. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Will, bench or battle ready. There are a lot of people out there that need to know about some of the players, both on the collegiate and the NFL level, and where they are on the injury report. We'll talk a little bit more about it coming up on the other side here on 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Took game one of the 2020 Classic behind a strong showing from Clayton Kershaw on the mound and Mookie Betts at the plate, 8-3 over the Rays.
Betts first pitch with a fly ball to right field. Heading on back is Renfroe at the wall, and it's gone, a home run. Mookie Betts is doing merely everything.
Charlie Seiner, how they call it, Dodgers radio. Mookie Betts, 2 hits, 2 runs, 2 stolen bases. That home run in the win. Kershaw on the mound. It gave up 1 run over 6 innings, 8 strikeouts in the win. Game 2 will be tonight on Fox, 8 Eastern. College football, Georgia is sticking with a former walk-on quarterback Stetson Bennett moving forward despite an ugly loss over the weekend in Alabama where he threw 3 interceptions. Georgia has a bye week coming up before taking on Kentucky next Saturday. In the NFL, the Dolphins have named rookie Tua Tagovailoa their starting quarterback moving forward in place of Ryan Fitzpatrick. The number 5 overall pick in 2020 made his pro debut last weekend in a blowout win over the Jets. Miami takes on the LA Rams this Sunday. And the Washington football team may possibly carry on that same name in 2021, according to team president Jason Wright. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Late.
He once bought Wayne Gretzky a drink.
We'll let him tell the story. Tyler Ivins and the starting lineup on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Way. You will never understand.
8:21, this is Wednesday morning, starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal. Will West, Tyler Ivins, Eric Kane here with you. We are excited because we're bringing on Jack from Benchmark Physical Therapy. It is benched or battle-ready time here, getting us ready for the Alabama week. The great people from Benchmark Physical Therapy join us to talk about the top injuries, break down the injuries so you can actually understand when you see what a high ankle sprain is, what a hamstring overuse injury might be, to give us the details of what that looks like for the upcoming games this weekend. Jack, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Doing really well. Doing really well. We're going to get right into it. We got some NFL injuries. We're going to start with UT injuries, though. Brian Maurer. I think a lot of us were surprised to see JT Shroud and Harrison Bailey on the field this weekend for last weekend for Tennessee, but we did not see Brian Maurer. Hamstring injury is what we've been told about that. What can you tell us about a hamstring injury and why it might seem to be lingering so long for Maurer?
Well, you know, Maurer missed some practice time in the preseason with this hamstring injury, and I think last time I was on the show we were talking about Maurer's hamstring. It's just one of those things. It's one of those injuries that is really easy to retweak, and, you know, if you're dealing with a higher grade, you know, like grade 2, hamstring strain, then and you're at a minimum, that's a 4 to 8 week recovery process. You just have to let those muscle tissues heal up before you can get to game speed reps where you are able to tolerate that kind of high speed stuff. It's hard to monitor those injuries a lot of times because they don't typically retweak or show up until you get to that full speed. And until you give yourself enough rest and recovery and build some strength back up in that hamstring, it's just a very vulnerable injury, which is why you see a lot of athletes that do a lot of sprinting kind of re-injure it. So it's hard to tell exactly what his was. More than likely, it's at least a grade 2 strain, and like I said, a minimum 4 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
But I know he's been dealing with it for a long time, so hopefully he can heal up and get back in there soon.
Yeah, 4 to 8 weeks. I guess I just assume hamstring injury, 2 weeks later you're back out there. But 4 to 8 week recovery, it's wild, Tyler.
You know, Jack, the more I keep looking at just the lower extremities on a football player, that makes me lead to the next one, which is Wanya Morris. When you hear kind of the, I guess, just how vague they are with a lower leg injury, it sounds kind of like hockey. You know how in hockey they just tell you upper body, lower body, because they don't want to get in specifics. Mm-hmm. With Wanya Morris, it is a lower leg injury. You're a 300-pound man having to take on a blitzing guy off the line of scrimmage. Without specifics, just how important is the lower body, in particular a lower leg, to a left tackle like Wanya Morris? And just right now, just the uncertainty of what could be there in that below the hip area.
Oh, man, when you play tackle, you've got to be able to move. You're taking on speed rushers, and, you know, you've got to be able to shuffle your feet really quick and then, you know, essentially hold up a defensive lineman that's really strong and really fast. So absolutely legs, one of the more important things to any athlete, you know, more particular for a left tackle. You know, that's where all your power and strength comes from and your stability. Yeah, I know in the offseason, didn't he have a hip surgery in the offseason, didn't he, this year?
Correct. He had offseason surgery.
Yeah, I think that was for a labral tear in his hip. So one of the things that we like to talk about as physical therapists and rehab professionals is one of the common sayings is proximal stability for distal mobility. So anytime, you know, you have an offseason injury like a hip labrum, and I rehab these things a lot in the clinic, and, you know, it's a 14 to 16-week recovery process for that labrum to be able to get back to running. I don't think you can start straight-line running until about, you know, probably 12 weeks out of that surgery, 10 to 12 weeks, depending on how you're doing. So you're off your feet for a little bit, and it takes a long time to progress through that rehab program when you're getting strength. And if you're lacking some strength in your hip, a lot of times that can lead to some lower body injuries, like a knee injury or an ankle injury and stuff like that. And like you said, the coaches are just really vague about their injury reports, you know, with pretty good reason. They don't want to get too specific and you know, scare people. But it sounded like Pruitt said he was day-to-day with that lower leg injury. So hopefully it's nothing too serious. But I know just based on his past with the hip labral repair that he had, that proximal stability is going to be important for his ability to recover. So
that's why we have him on, Jack Ballard, Benchmark Physical Therapy. It's Benchster Battle Ready, brought to you by Benchmark Physical Therapy. Okay, Jack, we haven't We haven't talked about you, but we haven't talked to you since the Dak Prescott injury. When you see compound right ankle fracture and dislocation, what does that mean? What does that look like? What type of recovery are we looking at for Dak?
Well, first off, you know Dak's my guy. Like, I'm a Mississippi State guy. He's one of my favorite players to ever suit up. But so that was a tough weekend to be a dog overall watching that. But it was, you know, compound right ankle fracture and dislocation. Do you remember the Gordon Hayward injury where he landed on that leg and you saw the bone kind of just pop out the side? It's very similar to that. Yeah, I mean, you remember what it looked like. It was brutal. You know, Dak's foot sitting there laying over to the side, and that's just like, oh, man, he's hurt. So what that means is more than likely he fractured both the tibia and fibula in his lower leg. And when you hear the word compound, that means that the skin has likely been broken by a bone sticking up through the skin. So yeah, first thing you got to do, obviously, is reset the bone. And, you know, he has surgery. The doctor did come out and say that the surgery was deemed successful for him. Nonetheless, he's going to miss the entire year. That's at least a 4 to 6 month recovery process. I've actually broken my tib-fib before. It wasn't as nasty as Dak's, but it takes about 4 to 6 months to get back, and that is barring any type of infection. And that's one of the main things that doctors worry about. Anytime they open somebody up is getting an infection. And when you're putting hardware in somebody's body, you know, you're using plates and screws to kind of stabilize that fracture. They use what's called an ORIF. It's open reduction internal fixation is what that stands for. And that's just when you get plates and screws. If he doesn't get an infection, you're looking at 4 to 6, up to 7 month recovery process. The doctors feel like he should be able to recover fine. I don't know. The surgeon that did his surgery does specialize in like minimally invasive like ankle reconstruction, which means they were he specializes in reconstructing ankle ligaments. Sure. So when you have a dislocation like that, your ankle pops out of socket essentially, which can put a lot of stress on the surrounding ligaments. It can tear the ligaments. So what I don't know about Dak's surgery is did he have to have a ankle ligament reconstruction, or did he just do tib-fib ORIF for the fracture. And depending on that, the rehab process will look a little bit different if he had to have an ankle reconstruction. I'm not really sure he did. It doesn't sound like that might have been the case. His ligaments might have been intact. Tib-fib definitely broke. It's just a long recovery process, but he should be fine. The doctors expect him to be able to be back for spring ball.
All right, Jack Ballard, Benchmark Physical Therapy, benched or battle ready, brought to you by Benchmark Physical Therapy. 29 area locations, regardless of where you are in our listing area. There's probably a Benchmark Physical Therapy location near you. Last one we'll get to, Taylor Lewan, ACL tear. What does that recovery process look like? They seem to have changed a little bit with ACLs. Do you think that Taylor Lewan will be ready for next year, and what does that recovery look like?
I think a general rule of thumb with ACL reconstruction, about 9 months before you're getting back to doing some sports-specific training and things like that. But it's it's one of those things. If you get hurt, you're done. I mean, you're out for the year. Initially, that first phase, you're just looking to kind of get the quad muscles activating a little bit. You're looking to restore range of motion as quickly as possible. You're in that 4 to 8 week kind of protection phase where you're letting that ligament kind of become your own, because there's different processes to do those surgeries. Sometimes they can take a cadaver graft, where they'll actually take a graft of tissue from a dead body or a cadaver and form a new ligament and then reconstruct the ACL with that. Or they can take grafts from inside the candidate's own body, like take a patellar tendon or a hamstring graft and remake an ACL and kind of string it up that way. But you go through those phases of recovery. You got that initial phase where you're just protecting the tissue. You're trying to manage pain, inflammation. You're trying to get range of motion back before you move into a little bit more weight bearing activities. You're moving into a little bit more, quad strengthening stuff. And anytime you have an ACL, you got to look at core strength. You got to look at glute, hip strength. You got to look at ankle mobility. Man, you got to look at the whole chain to be able to really stabilize that knee. But yeah, I mean, general rule of thumb, you're looking at about 9 months or so. Some people can go a little quicker. Some people take a little bit longer. Just depends on if there's any secondary tissues that are injured. A lot of times it's not just the ACL that gets injured. That's what gets reported, because that's that, you know, those big three letters. Everybody knows, everybody hears ACL and they know that's bad. But a lot of times that comes with, you know, a meniscal injury, or, you know, some lateral collateral ligament damage sometimes. So it's, you just don't quite know. Everybody's a little different. You don't know exactly what happened. All we know is that ACL, and general rule of thumb, about 9 months. But yeah, he's in for a real treat of a recovery process, and hopefully we'll all get to see him come back and you know, be able to function at a higher level when he comes back.
That's Jack Ballard, Benchmark Physical Therapy. Remember, you have a choice when it comes to your treatment. You can go to the best in East Tennessee, and there's a reason that we have Benchmark Physical Therapy on to break down these injuries for us. Nobody does it better. Jack Ballard, Benchmark Physical Therapy. It's Bench Your Battle Ready on the starting lineup. Jack, thanks for your time today, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being on. I appreciate you guys.
All I had was my coffee this morning, and I'm thinking about bones and ligaments and – Hey, look, and I don't know about you, we haven't really had a chance to really address this. Caner, Titans fans, step in here. Clearly, Pro Bowler, clearly Taylor Lewan protecting Ryan Tannehill's side. Huge for an impact in a game like Pittsburgh. But overall, when you look at an offensive line that had to let some players go due to some payroll, just some flexibility, concerns you might have besides the obvious that Taylor Lewan is now going to be lost for the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's concerning that he's a focal point of that offense. It's kind of hard to say that talking about a left tackle, but he's been there, done that. He's experienced. He's nasty. He's kind of the leader of that group, and he's a good player. And so that's going to be concerning for sure. Tennessee's not as good behind him. Dennis Kelly's kind of your swing man, but he's playing a lot on the right side right now. They might have to reshuffle that deck if Isaiah Wilson could ever get in the fold, but we'll have to see. So it's not great, but Tennessee has played a lot of games without Taylor Lewan the last couple of years, so the Titans are used to kind of having to figure that out.
Four to eight weeks for Brian Maurer, too. I did not really, like, when you think of hamstring, you think that 2 weeks later, make sure you ice the heck out of it, he'll be fine. 4 to 8 weeks, that makes a lot more sense, I guess, than for a while. It explains a little bit why we wouldn't see Brian Maurer on the field this past weekend.
I have been very blessed to have only broken my nose twice in my lifetime. No other body bones, any of that issues, but I have pulled my hamstring many times, and there is, again, as somebody who's never had to go under the knife, I've never in my life have felt more pain than having to severely strain or pull a hamstring. It feels like somebody just sniped you from like 50 yards away and just hit the deck and being like, I can't, this is miserable. Just common things that you do, trying to even swing your legs to get out of bed and just doing from the sit up off the mattress motion. And then that hamstring, the back of your leg is just tight and pulls. It is. Again, we're talking to people who have played professional sports listening to our show today, collegiate sports, and they're just like, heck, have you ever had this? No, I haven't. But for somebody who's pulled their hamstring, I can't imagine somebody to the severity of what Brian Maurer's having to go through, especially somebody who will likely be called on in the very near future to quarterback for the University of Tennessee. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Start, bench, cut, Tennessee-Bama, and where the rivalry stands after 13 consecutive victories for the Tide, all in the next 30 minutes on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
A Kid 2 or Cobra Kai?
You know, Will, I've actually heard a lot about Cobra Kai being fantastic.
And it's because it's awesome. That's what you've heard that.
Well, here's the thing. You guys have always told me, hey, go watch this, go see this. I think Cobra Kai is actually going to be in the queue as the next thing that I watch. So I'm going to say start Karate Kid, bench Cobra Kai because of the hype. I'm going to cut Karate Kid 2. That sequel, nobody needs that.
Going to start Cobra Kai. I'm aware that that's an upset, but if you go back and watch it, you kind of realize, well, Daniel LaRusso was really a jerk. Like, and he probably should have gotten, they should have swept his leg at Cobra Kai. When you go back and watch Karate Kid now, star Cobra Kai, bench Karate Kid, cut Karate Kid 2.
On this day in 1956, actress Carrie Fisher was born, greatest female protagonist in movie history. Princess Leia, Ellen Ripley from the Alien series, or the Bride from Kill Bill.
Look, even though I haven't seen the films, I'm not ignorant enough to even put this in any position but start, so I'm going to go Princess Leia. But I'm going to bench the Bride from Kill Bill. That chick was a certified bad A. She knew what she was doing. She was going after people. Five-finger punch. Pow. There he goes. Dead. Done. See ya. And then Ellen Ripley, I mean, you're awesome because you go to space, and that's already scary as it is, but then you're protecting people from different things and not of this world. And then you, the big old yellow arm claw thing you use at the end of one of those films. Yeah, man.
Spoilers.
Well, hey. Movie's been out like 27 years now. Just, I'm going to cut it, but it's a tough cut for me, Ellen Ripley.
I'm going to start Ripley. Ripley Aliens was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. And Ripley was awesome. Start Ripley. I'm going to bench The Bride. Kaner, I apologize. The Mandalorian comes out in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. But I'm going to cut Princess Leia. I am. Part of it's because of Super Leia in The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi just ruined everything for me.
Yeah, I mean, well, that was out of, that was out of George Lucas's hands. So, you know, what he came up with was pure gold.
Ryan Johnson was trying to direct a movie at the fans, not for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me down that rabbit hole. If not the Jets, who will get the number one overall pick? The Giants, Washington, or the Bengals?
I'm going to start the G-men. I'm going to bench Washington. I'm going to cut the Bengals.
Yeah, that's the right order. It is start the G-men. I know they just beat the Washington. What is wrong with you, Washington, that you're losing to the Giants? Start the Giants, bench Washington, because I don't think the Giants have another win in them. And then bench the Bengals.
Biggest disappointment in football right now, Dallas Cowboys, LSU, or Oklahoma?
Look, you just lost your starting quarterback, so I understand that, look, he was there for the first five, so it's difficult for me to not put Dallas up there, but I'm actually going to start the defending national champions. I'm going to start LSU just because of the way they've gone out there and just lost games. You have no business losing to Missouri. I'm benching Oklahoma. I'm going to cut Dallas.
I'm going to start Dallas because, yes, you lost Dak Prescott. You sucked before that anyway. So the Dallas should have been better. They got decimated by injury, so there's a reason behind why they're dealing with they are such a disappointment, but I'll start Dallas. I'm going to bench LSU for all the things that you just said. Man, Bo Pelini sucks at coaching defense, I will cut the Oklahoma Sooners. I don't know. This just feels like it's weird. It's COVID. Maybe the offense just isn't, they didn't get enough practices in for the offense to be as dynamic as it normally can be to make up for the fact that the defense is hot garbage.
Today is National Reptile Day. Who has the best reptile mascot? Maryland, Florida, or Florida A&M?
Start Maryland, bench Florida A&M, cut Florida.
Yes, that's the order.
It's pretty rad. I like the idea of like a turtle that'll fight you.
Testudo is one of the best mascots in all of college football. he is literally just a colored bandana around his eyes from kicking your butt like a Ninja Turtle. He would probably go in the sewer, get some swords, get a rat to partner up with and kick you. It's Testudo, then you go the Florida A&M Rattlers, then you're cutting whatever the heck that garbage mascot's name is down in Gainesville.
All right, last up, it was on this day in 2007 when Titans kicker Rob Baronis, RIP, set the NFL record for most points scored in an NFL game. Who's the best kicker in the game today? Start, bench, cut, Harrison Butker, Justin Tucker, or Josh Lambeau?
You know, Will, I was recently doing some research on Jackson kicker Josh Lambeau. Dude, since he signed with the Jags in 2017, he has hit almost every single field goal that has left his foot.
I forgot he was a thing, to be honest.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Josh Lambeau, a place kicker, might be the most valuable player, like a la Janikowski days in Oakland. Like, Josh Lambeau is guaranteed to put it through the pipes every time. So based on right now, because Butker hasn't been as connecting and hasn't been as automatic on extra points this year. So right now, you ask me this question on October 21st, I'm starting Tucker, benching Lambeau, and cutting Butker.
That is the correct order. I was going to go the same way. I am starting Tucker, I am benching Lambeau, I am cutting Butker. So it's consistency matters. And if you told me right now, part of it's this. If it's the Super Bowl, and I've got the Scott Norwood 49-yarder that I have to have hit for me to win the game, I'm going to say give me Justin Tucker over anybody, and I probably say Lambeau next. So I don't think you're off on that whatsoever. No one's watching Jacksonville Jaguars games, for gosh sakes, but except Jason from The Good Place. Other than that, that's the only person watching Jacksonville Jaguars games. But the guy's just consistent. He seems to hit everything that you put in front of him.
Heritage Realty, big thank you for Start, Bitch, Cut here on a Wednesday, Will West.
Heritage RealtyKnox.com, a boutique firm focusing on you, the client, over the needs of the sales pipeline. They're especially incredible when it comes to property management. Treating your property as if it's their own, maximizing your investment value. That is Heritage Realty.
The final word on the starting lineup, it comes up next. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Well, we come in to set to say goodbye to you here on a Wednesday morning. Starting lineup, Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, the Sports Animal. And Will, simply put, I just, throughout the entirety of this three-hour program, you just look at how one-sided this Alabama-Tennessee rivalry has been. And, you know, I don't know if it'll ever be put onto the table of negotiations to remove Bama from the annual schedule for the University of Tennessee, but one thing is for sure, just there are some fall fans that have no problem admitting that it's no longer a rivalry. And, of course, on the other side of the fence, there are plenty of Tennessee fans that seem like that Bama, no matter how bad or how worse these beatdowns get, that Bama should always come up sometime in the month of October on the Volunteers football schedule.
Yeah, I have been a long-time proponent of getting rid of the permanent cross-division rival, period, just in the SEC. The reason why is it's best for the conference. We're holding 14 teams up to have two games. And it seems as – and so, to me – those rest of those teams don't care. Look, Alabama-Tennessee is an important game. Historically, I guess probably not right now, but historically it is. Georgia against Auburn is an important game historically and right now. Why would you hold the entire conference up for two games? And really, right now, only one of them is even competitive. So, just for me, I think they should get rid of it for that reason, because it's in the best interest of college football, and it's in the best interest of the conference to not have the permanent cross-division rival in the SEC. Probably doesn't help anything that Tennessee gets beat by Alabama a lot, and I don't like the state of Alabama, so that probably helps a lot as well.
Yeah, I really don't give a darn about the whole state of Alabama either, so if I can find a way to not have to go through Bama while getting to the Gulf Shores or to the beach and other places in that area, I will attempt to do so to the best of my abilities. Let's step aside now. We'll be back with you Thursday morning coming up at 6 a.m. Brian Rice and the Eric Ains Show on the way here on 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.